Good morning and welcome back to the KGNC Agribusiness News Hour. I'm your host, Shannon Gray. And this morning, we got a little behind schedule. Y'all know I was on vacation for a week. And because of that, I got behind on our Crete beats, but I'm here to make it right today. I've got on the line with me Dr. Brent Overman. Y'all know him as a professor and the center director for Texas A&M AgriLife Research right here in Amarillo. And Dr. Overman, thanks for being back on the show this morning.
Thank you, Shannon. It's great to be with you.
Absolutely. And I'm excited to talk about this today. In preparation for this, you said you had some big news. Start off by giving us a little basis into this. This is a subject that has to do with Rocky Mountain National Park. It's a place that a lot of us love to travel to and visit. Give us some background on what you're going to be doing in association with that national park.
Well, Rocky Mountain National Park is, as far as I'm concerned, it's crown jewel of the national park system, and it's, you know, only about 8 hours drive away from here. So it's a place that many of your listeners may have spent quite a bit of time in, and you know, it's a great place to go to look at things and to experience nature and to fish and to enjoy the wildflowers and so forth. For several decades now, scientists that work up in the park have noticed kind of long-term gradual changes in some of the ecology up there, different plant communities, water chemistry in the high alpine lakes, and so forth. And so there's been a lot of research over those decades trying to figure out what's going on. And one of the causes that they believe they pointed to is the drift of atmospheric nitrogen and sulfur into the park. And so the question is, well, what happens? That nitrogen enriches the water and the soil, and different plants and animals start to thrive in this changing environment. Well, so Colorado takes that very seriously, as does the Park Service. And what they're trying to do is reduce the emissions of nitrogen and sulfur compounds that end up in the air and then from time to time drift into the park and get rained out or snowed out and thereby deposited into the park. Part of that, we don't know how much, what percentage of it, but part of that nitrogen comes from agriculture. And so it turns out that AgriLife research scientists and our partners at AgriSearch Service out at Bushland have a long history of working on nitrogen from agricultural sources, and in this case, we're talking about livestock. So we have just now been invited by USDA Natural Resources Conservation Service to assist the folks in Colorado with, you know, evaluating a couple of management practices that livestock producers might be able to use to reduce their contribution to that nitrogen that's drifting up into the park from time to time.
Yeah, this is so fascinating. So as you mentioned there, your goal is going to be to evaluate how ranchers and other beef producers manage their herds. Is this going to be new research, or is this really building on research that we've already done here in the Texas Panhandle?
Great, great question. It's building on research that we've been doing for quite a while. You know, 10 or 12, maybe 13 years ago, EPA started requiring reporting of a couple of different kinds of emissions, ammonia and hydrogen sulfide. And from a variety of livestock and poultry enterprises, including beef cattle and dairy cattle. And the research that we had been doing up until 2007, 2008 was directly relevant to what those livestock producers were going to have to report under these new EPA guidelines back in that time. Well, the reporting instrument that EPA ended up adopting for the reporting of these nitrogen and sulfur emissions was derived directly from research that had been done at Bushland and with livestock producers around the Texas High Plains by our AgriLife and ARS scientists and engineers. So, yeah, it's building on research that we had been doing, and it really is a very nice fit for our research portfolio.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. It's like you're kind of ahead of the game on this one. Like, you know, you're just continuing what you've already been doing, maybe in a new way, but, you know, you're already halfway there, so to speak.
Yeah, you know, one of the interesting things about it is that one of the reasons we're a little bit ahead of the game, at least from one perspective, is that the livestock producers here in the Texas High Plains took this serious a long time ago and started underwriting, you know, seed grants, little smaller research projects that allowed us to build a small database that we could then use to compete for larger grant funds that allowed all of that research to take place. So I've got to say that, you know, the Cattle Feeders Association, the Texas Cattle Feeders Association, had a great deal to do with putting us in a position to be responsive to something they ended up needing later. And that's exactly what happened here.
Wow. Yeah, it goes to show the heart of our producers here in this part of the country and the fact that they just really love what they do and they really truly are stewards of the land. And I'm curious on this, is there a set timeline that Rocky Mountain National Park is looking to get this resolved by? Is this something that you're still trying to figure out at this point?
Well, the you know, the folks in Colorado, the stakeholder group up there, they've been working on this a long time. What they've put together is a glide path strategy. There's no way to cut the emissions back immediately. We've got to, you know, work our way towards it. And their strategy acknowledges that. But over time, over the next couple of decades, we need to somehow reduce the deposition of nitrogen into the park by a little more than half of what it is today. Well, there are going to be milestones along the way, and we have to figure out how to optimize some of these management practices. We got to time them right. And we've got to show that they are actually effective. And then, you know, we've got to figure out how to make them cost effective as well. So, you know, we've really got a couple of things to figure out. Our project is a 2-year project, and I think it will lead to additional projects as well. But, you know, this is something that's going to have to be achieved over a matter of years and decades, not weeks and months.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes perfect sense that to reduce something, it doesn't happen overnight. It takes time. You know, just hearing you talk about this, and I hope I'm explaining what I'm trying to ask properly. When I think about nitrogen and the fact that you're trying to reduce that as well as sulfur, and you're starting with the ag industry, the cattle industry, in the circle of how that gets deposited into the national park, right? That's kind of like the first step. Is there anywhere else along that cycle of those, I don't know, minerals being deposited where we could also look at improving?
Oh, sure. See, as I mentioned earlier, agriculture is a part of the picture, but it is by no means the whole picture. Mm-hmm. You know, our cars and trucks and SUVs and semis and you know, anything that uses fossil fuels also will generate nitrogen-based and some sulfur-based compounds as well, although we've been ratcheting down on the sulfur for quite a while, at least in diesel. But, you know, the point is that there are lots and lots and lots of different sources. One of them is agriculture, and a small part of the agricultural load comes from livestock, but we also fertilize crops with nitrogen. So, you know, there are lots and lots and lots of different sources. We're just focusing on one narrow slice of it, and it's a slice that we happen to know something about, and something that we've been working with the industry on for, you know, 15 years or more. So it really is a natural fit. It's a small piece of a much, much larger puzzle.
Wow. Well, I'm just so excited for y'all. I'm proud of everyone at AgriLife Research and, of course, ARS. I get to talk to you and a lot of your colleagues throughout the year, and just great work, job well done. And I look forward to hearing, you know, the results that you find in the next couple of years.
Shannon, I appreciate it very much. It's great to have a chance to talk about it.
Thank you, Brent. And again, Texas A&M AgriLife Research, along with ARS, they're helping Rocky Mountain National Park figure out problems that we've already been working on fixing right here in the Texas Panhandle. Pretty amazing stuff. And thank you again to Dr. Brent Overman, Center Director for the Texas A&M AgriLife Research Center right here in Amarillo. For KGNC Agribusiness News, I'm Shannon Gray.